turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. This morning we will be reading verses 13 through 18. This is the holy word of God. Listen carefully. Galatians 5, 13 through 18. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word, and the congregation said, Amen. This morning I want us to ponder, I want to challenge us all, what do we do with our freedom in Christ? How are we using it? This week, Canada as a nation will once again pause on the 11th. To remember the sacrifices of those who died defending civil freedom. You've seen the poppies, and no doubt you've seen the phrase, lest we forget, up here. And it's a reminder not to take lightly the sacrifices made on our behalf. It's a warning against apathy. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, has told us of a greater freedom. A far superior freedom. In the opening verse of this chapter, he told us that Christ came to set us free, and therefore we are to stand firm in Christ's freedom. It is a freedom that is so great that Scripture declares this: all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. 1 Corinthians 6. Then in 1 Corinthians 10, it says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. Here is the great freedom given to everyone united in Christ Jesus. Those passages were not exaggerating. No, Lord willing, none of you think that those statements are an exaggeration. This is the great freedom declared by our triune God. How does Christ save you? He saves you so much, so completely, that all things are lawful for you. It's mind-boggling, this freedom. No nation has this freedom. No nation ever will. It is found in Jesus alone. This is what comes through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And therefore, in verse 1 of this chapter, Paul warns us about neglecting our great freedom. We are to stand firm in it. And now, in verse 13, he calls us to be cautious that we do not abuse this great freedom. Paul tells us not to use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. We abuse the great freedom Christ has given us when we choose to live by the flesh. Living by the flesh is done in two ways. Now, as I say this, please, this is only for the Christian. Only the Christian has the ability, through Jesus Christ, to live for holiness or live by the flesh. And Paul is talking to the church, and he's speaking to those who profess Christ, as I'm speaking to you. And there are two ways that those who profess Christ can live by the flesh. that the first we know well, Lord willing. Because Paul has spent 4.5 chapters dealing with it. The first is legalism. The first way we live by the flesh is by neglecting this great freedom. We neglect the great freedom when we try to improve upon the work of Jesus Christ. When we nod our heads and say, of course Christ is my righteousness, but then act like we must earn our own righteousness. Of course, we discover the love of God in Christ Jesus, but then we act like we must earn his affection. That is what legalism is all about. Nodding our head to the truth of Scripture, and then living by works righteousness. This is neglecting our great freedom. And the result will be we will misuse the law. We will ignore the fact that apart from Christ, the law binds everyone under its curse. We will ignore the fact that the only one who perfectly obeyed the law is Jesus Christ, and we will attempt to use the law to prove that we can be righteous. The result is those bound in legalism bite and devour each other as they attempt to claw their way over each other into the affections of God. And it always fails. Because on our own, we will never be good enough. It is exhausting. This is bootstrap religion that tells you to try harder and be better, and you might be approved. It's a false religion that focuses only on the externals, as Paul has revealed. It's a false religion of pressure and guilt. Because in this false religion, there's always more that must be done to get God's favor. You're never good enough. You never measure up. And so you bite and devour one another, trying to prove that you are more holy than someone else. Because we're not depending upon the righteousness of Christ, but on our own righteousness. And therefore, we crush ourselves. And we destroy others as we crush ourselves. So tragic. Because it removes Christ as the central focus. And the central focus becomes us. And our ability to gain acceptance. And as we've heard from Paul, it's bondage. It's enslavement. It has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet Paul now declares in these verses, there is an equal error. And please hear me. Because in the church, I've actually heard this said. In the church, people look at this equal error and say, well, if I have to pick one, I'll pick legalism. Wrong! Then you haven't been listening to the book of Galatians. Because Paul says both of these are errors. Both of these are equal errors. They're wrong. They're anti-gospel. Don't fall for either of them. And here's the problem. Each one in this room is either a recovering legalist or a recovering antinomian. And therefore, we're going to struggle on one side or the other. And the answer isn't to go to the other side. The answer is to go to Jesus. And don't worry about what the other person is struggling with. Worry about your temptations. Now, I'm just going to use my family as an example. I'm a recovering legalist. I want the rules so I can check them off so that I know that I'm righteous. Coralie is a recovering antinomian. Her struggles are not the same as mine. And I don't worry about her struggles. I focus on my struggles. Do I pray for her? Of course I do. But I don't nitpick her because I've got my own issues. And brothers and sisters, Lord willing, that is your same attitude. You're either a recovering legalist or you're a recovering antinomian. And Paul tells you, You have to go to Christ. Now, this equal error antinomian is the idea that Christ frees you so you can do whatever you want. It's summed up in this little rhyme that you've probably all heard. Free from the law of blessed condition, I can sin as I please and still have remission. Scripture counters this wicked view. Romans 6 says this, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? The very idea to use our freedom in Christ to live in sin removes Christ from the central focus. It is all about my pleasures and desires and preferences ruling my life. See, legalism is all about my rules ruling my life, and antinomianism is my desires ruling my life. They both take away Jesus. One isn't better than the other. Both errors remove Jesus from his rightful place as King of our lives. And therefore, Paul rightly warns that we are not to use our freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. The legalist focuses on their flesh by thinking they can be righteous in and of themselves. They can improve upon what Christ has done. It's anti-gospel. But the antinomian focuses on the flesh by freely indulging in their fleshly desires. Both mock God's sacrifice. Neither one is better. Antinomianism looks upon the love of God and deems it unworthy of honor and respect. It forgets that Scripture has declared, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. See, you and I wrongly think that antinomianism or licentiousness is purely blatant immorality. But Lord willing, as we're working through Jude together in the evenings, you've discovered that licentiousness is an unwillingness to conform to the commands of God. Antinomianism sees Scripture as merely suggestions. It doesn't see Scripture as the final authority for life and practice. License is revealed more often in an unteachable spirit that will not yield to Scripture. It's often revealed in the attitude of, don't tell me what to do. An antinomian will say, I will come to church. I will be a member. But do not think you have any authority over me. I am free, and therefore I get to decide what I will do and what I will not do. I get to decide what I will believe and what I will not believe. See, antinomianism, left to itself, goes all the way to anarchy. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. That's the end result of antinomianism. I am my own boss. I decide. That's an antinomian. And both legalism and antinomian reject the true gospel. The one who falls for legalism declares Jesus is not enough, whereas the one who falls into antinomianism declares Jesus is not worthy enough to be fully obeyed. Both are self-centered. Both are merely the desires of our flesh. And therefore, both bite and devour others. Both reject the finished work of Jesus by different approaches. With legalism, we bite and devour each other as we compete against one another in self-righteousness. In antinomianism, we bite and devour ourselves as we live self-centered, prideful lives devoted to my rights. Neither one submits to the revealed word of God, and neither one stands firm in the freedom of Christ. And again, this is hard to hear, because everyone who professes Christ struggles with one or the other. And that means we have to fight against our flesh. Both legalism and license cause great division. You know, as I was reading commentaries about this passage this week, I was amazed. It didn't matter what century that the commentary was from. Every commentator bemoaned the fact of the damage that legalism and antinomianism was causing in the church of their day. How it ruined the witness of Jesus. How it never showed the love of God. Fascinating. The early church struggled with it. And so do we. When either of these invade a church, true biblical love is always suppressed. Living by the flesh always focuses on self instead of Christ. Outwardly, both can appear religious. Outwardly, both can appear to be very knowledgeable about Scripture, but inwardly, both only gratify the flesh. And the result is, we bite and devour one another. In both, God-defined, self-sacrificing love is always rejected. So how do we avoid legalism and license? The answer the Spirit gives is that you are to walk by the Spirit. So how do we walk by the Spirit? The answer is the law of God. Now some may say, wait a minute. Hasn't Paul just spent chapters arguing against the law? No, he has spent chapters arguing against the misuse of the law. He has spent chapters arguing that the law is not against the gospel, that the law is not where you find righteousness. The law is given to point us to righteousness, who is and only ever will be Jesus Christ. The law is to drive us to the cross. But once at the cross points us to the law. They work together. Look at how Paul highlights this in verse 14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. How do you and I live in the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus? It's by embracing the love of God. Romans 6 declares it this way. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. You see, the freedom that we have in Christ is the freedom to live for God as God desires. Our flesh craves selfishness. That selfishness is either revealed in works righteousness or anarchy. Paul, however, calls us to live by the Spirit so that we will live in true freedom. You see, for all united to Christ, a fundamental change has occurred. Those who receive and rest in Christ alone now have Christ living in them. And so they will desire what Christ desires. And therefore they will long to walk by the Spirit. Well, how is that done? Well, listen to how Jesus describes the Spirit's role in John 16. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to me. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit reveals all that the Trinity wants you to know. Well, how does he do it? Through the revealed Word of God. See, when Paul calls you to walk by the Spirit, he's not asking you to live some mystical life waiting for some special stirring that can never be confirmed. He's telling us to embrace the actual proper use of God's law. The law was given so that you and I would know how to live in the love of God, not how to gain the love of God. There's a huge difference, and normally you know it, but let me repeat it. The law tells you how to live in the love of God, not how to gain the love of God. The only way we gain the love of God is Jesus Christ, our righteousness. Once you are united to Christ, you are in God's love forever. But now you have to know, how do I live in that love? That's the point of the law. To reject the law for our own way is to abuse the law. To use it to gain righteousness is to abuse the law. When you and I receive Christ, we come into the freedom of God's love. And God's love, therefore, is our focus. And therefore, God's love stirs us to love as he commands. Well, how does he command us to love? Through the law. Keeping his commandments, therefore, is our expression of our love for him. Jesus put it this way in John 14. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So, how do we keep God's love? By keeping his law. Well, how do we keep God's law? And the Holy Spirit quotes Leviticus 19. Love my neighbor as myself. Well, how do I love my neighbor as myself? Not by feelings or mystical experiences or cultural definitions or my own interpretations, but by being obedient to God's law. And God's law is summed up in the moral law. And the moral law works together. No commandment is opposed to another. To love God means I will love my neighbor. And we know that because Jesus' summation in Matthew 22, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. What are the two commandments? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. To live by the Spirit is to live obedient lives to God's commandment. So how do I know I'm obedient to God? Well, do I love my neighbor? Well, who's my neighbor? Well, Jesus has told us in the Good Samaritan, the one in need of mercy. And then here's where the struggle comes in, because if you're a recovering legalist, you hate it. That's too broad. That's way too broad, because do you know what that means? I have to love sinners. Well, what were you when God loved you? What does Scripture say you were when God first loved you, an unworthy sinner? For a legalist, their love is miserly. Their love is limited. And so they hate hearing love your neighbor as yourself, because it's way too broad, because that means I have to love everybody. you see now, the legalist has an issue with God. The legalist has an issue not with the minister, but with the Word of God. And they need to repent. Well, what about the antinomian? Well, the antinomian hates loving their neighbor as herself because it's no longer about their pleasures and their desires and their rights. Because loving my neighbor as myself means I'm going to have to give up some of my rights. It's not always going to be about me. And that really bothers the antinomian. And yet for the Christian united to Christ, they love it. It's a joy. How do I know this? 1 John chapter 4. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. The one set free by Christ's love will be always fixated on Christ's love. They will be transformed by Christ's love, and therefore, how Christ loves, they will love. Think of Galatians 2:20. Who lives in those united to Christ? Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Therefore, his will, his love, his righteousness, his desire is what is motivating me. And therefore, all those who receive Christ will walk by the Spirit, loving as God commands, not as they desire. For the recovering legalist, like me, that means you have to free up who you love. That means you have to be willing to love who you define as unlovable. Because at one point, you were unlovable. And for the antinomian, it means you have to tighten up your love. Because love always calls sinners to repentance. Love never leaves sinners alone in their sin. Here's the great challenge. If we are fixated on Christ because he is our righteousness, then we will be fixated on his love and affection as it transforms us through the renewing of our minds. And therefore the law will become dear to us because it reveals to us how to love God and love our neighbors as God commands. Not as we want. And the law of God becomes a glorious guide to live in the freedom of God's love. And the result is true sacrificial love for one another. And beloved, please hear me, this doesn't happen instantaneously. It's little by little as we learn to walk obediently with the Spirit. And our flesh fights us. And the more you choose obedience, the more you're going to discover your flesh resists. And the result is almost a constant tug of war as the flesh tries unsuccessfully to stop the work of the Spirit. And in this almost constant battle, you have to remember the promise of verse 18. It's such a glorious promise. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If you are united to Jesus Christ, you are never condemned by the law, because Christ is your righteousness. And therefore, on your most disobedient day, you do not stand condemned. Now please hear me. When you're disobedient, there will be fatherly discipline because he loves you. disobedient day, the law will never condemn you, because Christ is your righteousness, and he has perfectly kept the law. Brothers and sisters, this morning, are you living hindered by your fleshly desires? We are called to examine ourselves. Is your life all about performance? All about working to gain God's acceptance? Then you're living by the flesh. Or is it all about your rights? And you have to be heard, and it has to go your way? Then you're living by the flesh. And if we live by the flesh, we will fight and devour one another. The things of God will bore us, and we will oppose them. It is a life of horrible bondage. And if any of you are living by the flesh, please, please hear Christ's call and repent of your sins. Leave yourself. Leave your pride, leave your rights, leave your works, and cling only to the righteousness of Christ. And come into his freedom. Christ came to set us free. Free from guilt, sin, death, selfishness, and praise God, our pride. The evidence of that freedom will always be our obedience to God's law, love for him and love for our neighbor. Do you struggle with assurance? Do you love your neighbor? And when you don't, do you repent? As Christ declared in the Gospel of John, John chapter 15, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how are we doing with our freedom? Are we neglecting it, focusing on our works? Or are we abusing it, focusing on our rights? And Lord willing, this morning, we can say no. We are focused on Jesus Christ, our righteousness, and we are standing firm in his freedom. Oh, I hope and pray that we can all say amen to that. Oh, I hope and pray that now, and for generations, Trinity will be known as those people who love the Lord. It is only done through being united to Christ and walking with the Spirit. Let us faithfully walk. Let us pray. Most merciful, holy God, Father, we hear your words and we rejoice in hearing of freedom, and yet we also know the struggle within us. Our flesh is there. For some, it's the desire to earn your affection. And for others, it's all about our rights. And you call us to abandon both and look to Jesus Christ. You call us to deny ourselves and cling only to the cross of Jesus Christ. Father, we recognize that can only be done with the Spirit at work within us. So, Holy Spirit, we begin praying. Continue your sanctifying work in us, working that which is pleasing in your sight, so that we will be seen by you and by the world as obedient children of the living God, loving him as he commands, and loving our neighbors as you command. Thank you for Christ. Amen.